never should be. Our speaker tonight is Brother John Lewis, Vice President of Oregon Bible College. Time after time after time, I've had young men who have been graduates from Oregon Bible College tell me what a marvelous and wonderful instructor they think Brother Lewis is. In fact, they've told me they don't think there's anybody just quite like him. And that's a little sickening when you're trying to teach them, too. But I believe that Brother Lewis has a very special ministry at Oregon Bible College, and I trust that as he shares with us tonight, it'll be a great blessing to our hearts. At this time, we present Brother John Lewis.
Thank you very much. Those were very kind words. I'm very thankful for the entire service this evening. The music was just marvelous, and it uplifted me so wonderful. I think of enthusiasm, the origin of the word enthusiasm, in, meaning in, enthused coming from theos, God. And so enthusiastic people in God, and I think it really fits, because I feel the kind of feeling that we get in regard to the way this music uplifts us, and the approach that we take in enthusiasm of Brother Ross is exactly the attitude that the church is to have in this day. I think it is the thing that we really need as the church approaches the world and we near the time of the return of Jesus to the earth. Real Christian education requires cooperation and hard work on the part of every one of us. Real Christian education requires hard work and cooperation on the part of every one of us. Real Christian education requires hard work and cooperation on the part of every one of us. Each person in the church needs to develop his capacities and his abilities to the fullest. Each individual has a responsibility to every other member of the body to help him in his Christian life to develop the gift that God has given to him so that he can approach life and the world and the other members of the body knowing that he is fully equipped to meet the crisis that is confronting us right now. There is no time for lukewarmness in the church. The turmoil, the chaos, the crisis that is before us now does not allow any quarter for weakness. It does not allow any occasion for lukewarmness. Laodicean church, get out of this place. You're not wanted. There's no room for you here because the church has something to do. Christian education, the education of the Church of God, like every segment of the church, like every segment of the Church of God, is intimately related to this turmoil and the chaos that is in the world right now. I do not need to speak of that chaos. I do not need to remind you of it, because you're aware of it and you would not disagree that we are confronting a time, an occasion, an hour that is a crisis for all concerned. And the thing that brings it to our attention especially is not only is the church aware of it, but the secular world has become aware of it also. That Albert Einstein, before his death a few years ago, said that the world is drifting toward a catastrophe that is beyond comparison. The secular world, being aware of this crisis, only reminds the church to the fullest that indeed we are in the midst of it and that we had, must be, that we have to be doing something about it. This crisis is directly related to the education of the Church of God. To the visionaries of a few years ago, the kind of world that we are facing right now seems impossible. The first time that total knowledge in the world doubled was 1750 A.D. The second time that total world knowledge doubled was 150 years later, the turn of the century, 1900. The third time that total world knowledge doubled was just 50 years later, 1950. The fourth time that total world knowledge doubled was just 10 years later, 1960. The fifth time that total world knowledge doubled was just a little while ago, around the year 1970. And the doubling of knowledge is upon us once again. They are saying that it is doubling again this year. A mountain of knowledge surrounds every person in the world. But with this mountain of knowledge, are we living in a better world? Do people behave more decently toward one another? Is there a greater consideration in human relationships? I do not notice any great trends in that direction. Tell me if you can. And so there's a crisis in the world, a crisis with knowledge, a crisis with wisdom, a crisis in understanding. Why do we have this crisis? Because it was prophesied. No, no. Prophecy is only predictive. God's word has only said that it is going to be, and so it is. It is here. But predicting it does not make it so. I submit to you that there is a reason we are confronting a crisis in the world. There is a reason that we are confronting a crisis in education, in Christian education especially. But it is not because God's word says it is so. God has only told us that it is going to be so. The prophet Hosea was not only a prophet for his day. The prophet Hosea is a prophet for today. Listen to his words. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And this is the crisis. And Hosea, you are speaking to us now. The world is falling down, coming apart all over the place, all over our heads, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm telling you that everyone needs to go to school, that we all need knowledge. In the words of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, here is what we are speaking, friends. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. I'm telling you that we all need to go to school. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and fools despise instruction. For those who would despise wisdom, those who would despise knowledge, have no part in the wisdom of God. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. Solomon, as he speaks to us, this is a world, and this is what is happening. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And this is what is happening all over the place. The beginning of knowledge, then, the first step in Christian education, is that relationship with God. That reverence. The first step in Christian education is that relationship with God. When we talk about Christian education, we are talking about the heart of man. We are talking about the heart of man that is not right. We know that. We can understand that. And we can accept that if we try. That in Christian education, we must be dealing with the heart of man. Albert Camus is a French writer. And speaking of today, this is what he said. What frightens me is to see the sense of this life disappear, to see our reason for existence disappear. Men cannot live without meaning. Meaning is quickly disappearing from the lives of people. If great men of the earth lose their purpose, if they lose their reason for existence, their reason for continuing in this life and in this world, then what hope is there for the world? The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The things that are happening in the world are not happening to people who have goals and purpose. Mankind does not have the proper relationship with God. Solomon, what does he say? Only fools refuse to be taught. Solomon. There is a lot more to education than just learning how to make a living. Christians want to live. Christians want to live. There's a lot more to education than learning how to make a living. That first step is so important. Having a proper relationship with God. Tell people today that the Son of God died for them. They believe it. Tell people today they can be forgiven of their sins. They believe it. Tell people today that in the name of Jesus Christ, they are forgiven of their sins. They accept it. And this gives purpose and meaning to life. This gives a reason for living. This gives a reason for living. This gives purpose. They accept it. They believe it. Proverbs, the first chapter, I'll begin reading with verse 20, and I'll quit at the end of the chapter. And Solomon is talking about wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her saying, "How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all of my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes upon you like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all of my reproof. So they shall eat the bread of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. And he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil." I'm telling you, friends, that we all need to go to school. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is crucial. It is indispensable. It is that first step. It is intimately involved in Christian education. We have been talking to you about a relationship. About a relationship with God. But I want to talk to you about another relationship. Another relationship that I think is also intimately involved in Christian education in the Church of God. And let us talk again about the heart of man. About the heart of man that isn't right. The theme of this conference is tell the good news. Look where you will. Search where you want. You can't find it better. Tell the good news. I ask you And can you agree that it is the clarion call of the hour? Tell the good news. Because it is the thing that must be done. It is the thing that must be accomplished. Now think, my friends. Think, if you will, brethren, what is necessary for telling the good news. If we want to tell good news, what do we have to have? If we are looking at the points A, B, and C, what points have to be present if we're going to tell the good news? Number one, we just have to have good news to tell. How long does it take for you to hear the war is over? That a new child has been born? That Billy got a new bicycle? The steak went down to 89 cents a pound? It doesn't take long to find out when you have good news to tell. The first and most important thing in telling good news is that there is good news. And good news doesn't take long. Friends, do you understand that the most beautiful words in any language, thy sins are forgiven? The most beautiful words in any language in all the earth, that your sins are forgiven, that's fantastic. You can't find better news in all the world. So if we have a problem, the problem's not in the message. I feel it's so easy to fall into I'm a good boy religion. Aren't we nice? To point accusing fingers. They aren't teaching the Bible. They aren't doing this. They aren't doing that. And we keep God at arm's length by trying to point out the weakness of others. Even the weaknesses of the brethren, we're trying to hide from God rather than telling the good news. Rather than proclaiming the Abrahamic covenant, we are hiding behind it. To pass off a part of the gospel as all of the gospel. Brethren, Jesus Christ forgives sin. He has shown to us loving concern. And that's the loving concern that we need to show for one another. To love the brethren. I must show it for you. And you must show it for me. Paul speaking to us. Listen to the words of Paul, if you will. Quit lying. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Jesus Christ calls us to love one another. Paul speaking to the church. Jesus Christ calls us to love one another and not to drive one another to despair. Paul talking to the Christians. The relationship that we are to have with one another, Paul says, is to build, to support, to uphold, to sustain the brethren in their faith, to reverence God, and to love one another. Paul said, boy, we love Paul, because Paul has written some beautiful things in his letters. And Paul, in one of his letters, said this, let that kind of talk come out of your mouth that edifies and builds people up. Let that kind of talk come out of your mouth that edifies and builds people up. Let Jesus Christ be the head of the church. Let God make him the head of the church. You are not the head of the church. I am not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Let God make him the head of the church. Let Jesus Christ direct us in telling the good news. Nothing else can and nothing else will. We are only kidding ourselves if we feel that we can tell good news out here without telling good news in here, without edifying and loving and supporting and building and encouraging and forgiving one another. Because there is no way that we can proclaim the good news to the world if we are not giving good news to one another. Paul speaking says this, put away lying, Let everyone speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are members one of another. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness, all wrath, and all anger, and all clamor, and all slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. You could have quoted it, couldn't you? Aren't they beautiful words? Be kind, tender-hearted one to another, loving one another, forgiving one another. Friends, do you know the most beautiful words in any language? Thy sins are forgiven. This is the way the church has strength. This is the way we become strong. This is the way we proclaim the good news to the world, because we proclaim good news among ourselves. The Word of God heals. It encourages. It makes strong. That the Word of God may dwell in us richly. That the Word of God may abide in us. That the Word of God may be there in the heart of the brethren, in the heart of men. This is true. Then we can worship like the psalmist. Listen to him. Lord, you are good and ready to forgive. I praise you, Lord, because you have saved me. I cried to you for help, Lord my God, and you healed me. You restored my life. You are good to me, Lord. You have kept me safe as in a mountain fortress. You have changed my sadness into a joyful dance. You have taken off my clothes of mourning and given me clothes of joy. So I will not be silent. I will sing praises to you, Lord, you are my God, and I give you thanks forever. The psalmist worshiped. The purpose of Christian education is that we might learn to worship. The good news is going to be told in the world. It's going to be proclaimed in the world if the good news is proclaimed in the body. You can't stop it from happening. If good news is proclaimed here, good news is proclaimed there. Let us not discourage ourselves. Let us not discourage one another. The greatest reverence that we can show to God, that first step, the greatest reverence we can show to God is to accept His forgiveness for sin and to forgive one another. This gives us one voice. This gives us one purpose. This gives us a united voice that is clear. Sinner, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy sins are forgiven.